Chapter 25. The screech of car tires made Simone jump, and she clutched reflexively at the mace in her coat pocket. Bunny's car, that awful 1980s Porsche that he loved so much, was pulled up at the curb, the man himself trying to extricate himself from it. She still couldn't get over it. In many ways, she had never met a man less concerned with the superficial as Bunny McGarry. And yet he had this ludicrous car which seemed to be in the shop more often than not. And when it wasn't, he was far too large a man to get out of it comfortably without the aid of a tin opener. He moved quickly around the car, his face a picture of concern.
"Sorry, sorry, sorry."
"What are you apologizing for?"
"I was supposed to walk you home, and I wasn't there."
"It's cool. Don't worry about it. I'd totally forgotten you were going to."
She hadn't. She'd waited around for 20 minutes in the biting December chill. He was normally set your watch reliable, and, much as she hated to admit it, she looked forward to the nights when he'd be there. They had become the highlight of her week. His no-show had put her in more of a bad mood than she'd let herself acknowledge. Tonight, of all nights, she'd taken it as a sign. Bunny looked a little hurt.
"Oh, right. Well, that's good then. Didn't want you worrying. Do you mind if I hop on board for the last couple of stops?"
Simone looked up the street. They were all of 100 yards from the front door of the Dublin residence of the Sisters of the Saint. She nodded, and they fell easily into step, walking in silence for a couple of seconds. Simone looked up at Bunny, noticing the tightness in his face.
"So what happened? You look stressed."
I screwed up big time. The whole thing is bollocked to buggery. Do you remember Dinny Muldoon?"
"Was he the guy who helped you steal the goat?"
"No."
"The dude you dangled off O'Connell Bridge?"
"No."
"Don't tell me, don't tell me."
She stopped walking, biting her knuckle as she racked her brain. She didn't have that many stories she wanted to tell, but Bunny appeared to have an endless supply. Some of them he'd admittedly repeated, but they were so entertaining she had never minded. Simone clicked her fingers.
"The guy you trained with? Y'all put him naked on the train to Belfast as part of his bachelor party?"
Bunny nodded sheepishly.
"That's him."
Simone punched the air.
"Yes, I passed the pop quiz."
Then she noticed his expression.
Sorry. Is he okay?"
"No,"
said Bunny as they started walking again.
"He's suspended without pay. He beat the shite out of Tommy Carter. Gringo and I reacted too fecking slow. Couldn't stop him."
"But why would he do that?"
Bunny ran a hand through his hair and puffed out his cheeks.
"He's got twin babies at home. Him and the missus had been trying forever. Came back to find her in a state. Someone had broken in. Cut the throats of a couple of teddies as a threat."
"Jesus."
"Yeah, fecking sick. Dinny lost it. Just lost it. Came straight over and lamped Carter. Exactly what Carter was hoping for. Got the whole thing on tape. Carter's away and clear, and Dinny's going to lose his job. All because we messed up."
"Sounds like you couldn't have known."
Bunny shook his head.
"Could have, should have, would have. Been going over it again and again. I'm just coming from Dinny's house. His wife is saying maybe he should leave the force. He'd been in great form this morning when Gringo and I went to relieve them, having a bit of crack about buying himself a shed at the weekend. Now."
Simone gently placed a hand on his arm.
"You can't save everybody. But I do love that you try.
They walked the final few steps to her gate in silence.
Right so. Well, the good news is I'd imagine Gringo and I will be back working days now. So I'll be in more often to see you sing. That's assuming I don't get transferred to Donegal as a punishment for messing up.
Right.
Okay, so I'll probably see you tomorrow.
Bunny extended his arms for their nightly hug goodbye. But Simone placed her hand on his chest to stop him. She looked up into his eyes and then, before she could overthink it, grabbed his tie and pulled him down, drawing his lips to hers. She kissed him hard and then pulled away slightly. Bunny stood and looked down at her with a confused expression. She started to straighten his tie.
Shit the bed? What brought this on?
She didn't look up, just continued to straighten his already straight tie.
Okay, well, for both our sakes, I'm going to pretend you said something considerably more romantic there.
Right. Sorry, yeah.
And in answer to your question, you big lug, I appreciate you being the perfect gentleman and all.
Right.
But outside of doing something involving tassels, I'm not sure how many more obvious signals I could send.
I'm a clueless gobshite.
Okay, you should probably just let me do all the talking.
Silence.
So here's the thing. A priest the sisters know over in Galway is retiring and he's having a party. So they've all gone there for the night. Tonight?
She ran her hands up and down his tie.
And I was wondering if you'd like to come in for coffee. And before you say anything else, understand that I know you don't drink coffee. So what do you think?
She pinched his tie nervously between her fingers. He said nothing. He continued to say nothing. Then she remembered she had told him to say nothing. She looked up into his big, nervously grinning face. He nodded slowly and emphatically.
Okay, then.
She grasped his hand in hers and turned, walking quickly down the drive. At the door, she stopped and started trying to locate the key in her bag. She could feel him standing close behind her, his body pressing lightly against hers. She found the key. Nervous, she missed the lock the first two times. He grabbed her hand and guided it in. She giggled. She turned and pushed the door open with her ass while simultaneously reaching her arms up towards...
There you are!
Simone screamed. Bunny screamed. A lamp at the end of the hallway turned on, casting light on Sister Bernadette, looking smaller than usual in the oversized armchair.
We're all fierce jumpy this evening.
Sorry, sister, but what are you doing here? I mean, is everything okay?
The blasted car broke down, didn't it? I'm waiting for the AA man to have it fixed and dropped back.
Bunny spoke up.
Sister, did not do that at this time of the night.
She fixed him with a stare.
They do when I ask. Speaking of unexpected deliveries, what are you doing here, Detective McGarry?
I invited him in for a second, said Simone. Because, you see, Noel has had to go away for a couple of days.
Has he?
Yes, and he asked me to flat-sit for him.
He has cats?
Chipped in Bunny.
Yes, cats. And, well, with you three being away, I thought it'd be better than being here on my own.
We have a cat.
Of course we do,
nodded Simone.
But Brody is a very independent cat.
Which was true. He showed up about once a week, peed on something and left.
Whereas Noel's cat...
Tiddles,
said Bunny.
Tiddles,
repeated Simone, giving Bunny a look to indicate further help would not be required.
Gets very lonely when Noel's gone. starts howling.
I see.
So I was just grabbing a bag, and Bunny had kindly offered to give me a lift over.
To the cash,
said Bunny.
To Noel's flat,
continued Simone,
where I will be, you know, taking care of the cat.
Yes,
said Sister Bernadette.
That all stacks up. Well done.
She stood and started walking towards the kitchen, mumbling to herself as she went.
Cat-sitting, is that what they're calling it these days? I don't know.
Simone turned to Bunny and pulled a face.
Oh, Christ,
he said.
Yeah, that was bad.
Awful,
agreed Bunny.
I mean, I was fine, but you're a terrible liar.
Really? Now? Strikes you as a good time to crack wise?
Bunny shook his head vigorously.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Good.
Do you think Noel will mind you sleeping on his sofa?
She punched him with a little more force than she intended, but no less than he deserved.